Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. Here we are, International Jazz Day. Woo! Man, I can feel it from every pore. And you know what? That's saying something because it is torrential rain here in Baltimore, Maryland. Let me tell you something. I know that so many places in the South and the Midwest are getting hammered, and we're getting off easy, but we've got some flood warnings here. No matter, we're going to have a wonderful time and try to keep the vibe as positive as we can, because this whole idea, this whole notion of having a show like this, and yes, I am aware that it's Wednesday and not Tuesday or Thursday as we usually have the show, but this idea surfaced to celebrate jazz on International Jazz Day in 2011. The wonderful organization known as UNESCO thought it would be a wonderful way to convey the fact that jazz is used as a tool for peace all around the world. They wanted to foster communication. They wanted to foster the notion of goodwill toward everybody in the world. And that's why International Jazz Day was born. So I thought, you know what, let's do something different this year. The Monk Institute gave me a call. They said, could you do something specially in Maryland? And I said, are you kidding me? I'd be glad to do it. So we've got, during the course of the show, which was supposed to be 4 hours and now it's three, we've got some music that will give you a taste of what people feel in the way of conveying their jazz in different places around the globe. Some folks are still in those countries. Some folks have migrated to the States and play their music here, but they always have those countries they call home. What I call home is Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love will never leave me. And while I was growing up in Philadelphia, I'm a little bit older than the gentleman that we're just going to be introducing. But let me tell you something. We had so many big influences in Philadelphia. I used to take the train all the time from Fox Chase or Jenkintown and past Sigma Sound Studio. You know the jazz history, you know the soul history, the rhythm and blues, the feel of the street. One of the proudest moments that Philly ever had was when the roots of this group grew in the 1970s in a high school in Philadelphia and then blossomed when Grover Washington Jr. took them under his wing. Pieces of a Dream has been around for, what, 37 years, ladies and gentlemen? Whew. 20th album just came out in 2013. I am proud to give you one of the big influences and one of the hometown heroes in Philadelphia, James Lloyd. Hey, James!
Hey, how you doing?
Hometown girl's doing better now that I hear you.
Oh, what's up, my Philly partner? Oh, my
yes,
gosh.
Yes, sir.
You took me all the way back there, man. I'm like, wow, I'm reliving it as you're speaking it.
You know what? And as I was saying it, I'm here in the train, and I feel the streets. I'm seeing Broad Street. I'm thinking of Martin Luther King Jr. High. I'm thinking of Bishop McDevitt High School.
High school, it's creative and performing arts.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Man.
Don't you just wake up every morning and go, wow, that's a pretty cool ride that I'm still riding on.
Actually, no, but I do get reminded from time to time. You know, for the most part, I'm just me, you know, so I forget, you know, or sometimes don't realize fully. But, you know, people try and remind me, it's like, of things. And when they do, I get it. And then
yeah.
I'm like, whoa, wow. You know, it. You know what? Something recently happened. You know, someone asked me to, you know, to be like a, you know, a big brother mentor, you know, musically to them. And, you know, for me to hear that or to feel like I'm somebody's somebody. You dig? That
yep.
still freaks me out, you know? It's like, wow, you know, I still get honored and flattered, and I'm like, well, yes. Whatever I can do to help, sure.
Well, you know, James, I have to say that the circumstances of how Pieces of a Dream got together are so very cool, and some folks don't know. I mean, it is true that, first of all, the name came from a song that you heard Stanley Turrentine do that was called
yes.
Pieces of a Dream, written by Michelle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a Michelle Legrand song, and a lot of folks may not be aware of that. And then I love this. I love that here you were, teenagers, you and Curtis and Cedric, and you were listening to the Commodores and Stevie Wonder and Earth, Wind, and Fire. But meanwhile, Curtis's dad, Danny, who was the middle school jazz band somebody at Ada H. Lewis Middle School, said, oh, wait a minute now. I want you to hear Ahmad Jamal. I want you to hear Oscar Peterson. I want you to hear the Modern Jazz Quartet. I want you to get immersed in jazz.
Yes.
Yes.
That's when we first started, you know, really getting interested in jazz. And I think I was about 11, 12 years old. And, yeah. So now I'm listening to these people, and I'm trying to, you know, I was always good at, I could hear something on the radio or a record, and I could, you know, kind of emulate it. I could pick out, you know, the notes and play, you know, most, if not all of it. Now, with Oscar, you know, you can't get all of it. You're going to get some of it. But, you know, I would absorb from all of these, you know, these greats, and, you know, even at that young age, and I'd be like, okay, well, I'm learning this tune. Well, I'll try and play it kind of like they did. And what I can't get, I'll just put myself in there. And that's how that started, you know, with the straight ahead. And so when we wound up doing both things, I mean, we were doing block parties and wedding receptions, dinner dances and those things. So we would play, you know, some straight ahead stuff, you know, and then we, you know, as the crowd wakes up a bit and, you know, they drink a little more or whatever, and then we go into the funkier stuff, you know. So we were just, I guess, versatile at that early age, you know.
Oh man, it's so wonderful to hear that, and it's so great that you had both sides of that influence. And look, I mean, I can say this because I'm from Philadelphia, so I knew both hometown story, and I knew what was happening outside of our city. The influence that Pieces of a Dream has had through the years. That look, I know that you think of yourself as a regular guy and that you've got blessing after blessing, but that has to blow your mind sometimes when you hear people come up to you and say, if it wasn't for you, James, I don't think that I'd be in music. You must have heard that countless times.
Yes, I have, and it still does blow my mind. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it'll blow my mind, but then it'll snap in me, you know. It's like, wow, you know, like a light goes off. Hey, realize who and what you really are, you know. It just feels amazing. It really does, you know. And we owe so much to our dad, Grover, you know. I believe I was 15 when he took us all out to dinner. It was us and our parents and his wife and his manager and his wife and his lawyer and his wife, and went to this really expensive restaurant, had a private room and everything. We're just grubbing, and, you know, I'm like, okay, cool, hey. I get dressed up and I'm going to dinner, you know what I mean? And he's with Grover. You know, we'd met him like twice. You know, once we were the house band for the TV show in Philly called City Lights.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, you know, I did that. Started that when I was 14, and we would a lot of times we would back the musical guests that they had on every week. Sometimes they'd use a track, but most of the time they would have us back them. So we got to back people like Clark Terry and Dave Valentine and the Iceman Jerry Butler. And,
oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And one of those weeks, Grover was on. I'm like, wow. So we played two tunes with him, and that was the first experience with Grover. Not long after that, we were performing at the Bijou. I think we were opening for, like, either Betty Carter or Denise Williams. We used to play there with them all the time. And Grover was in the audience, so we asked him to, you know, come up and do Mr. Magic with us. And, you know, being the cat that he was, he graciously did. You know, so here we are playing Mr. Magic with Grover on the Bijou stage, you know, where he did it live at the Bijou, you know.
Yes.
And I'm like, whoa, like, ready to cry, you know. It's just crazy, you know. So soon after that, that's when the big dinner happened, and he announced he was starting a production company. And we were all like, okay, what does that mean? I didn't know what the heck that meant, you know. Basically, you're going to make a record. You guys got a record deal. Like, oh, wow, really? And we were, like, freaking out, like, oh, man, this is amazing. And then it hit us, okay, what do we do now? You know, I'm, like, 15, you know, like, okay, what do I do now? We had our little rehearsal spot. They had an 8-track reel-to-reel and some instruments, and we just got in there and got some ideas together and recorded some stuff and then played it for Grover, and he's like, okay, cool. You know, we'll take this, we'll take that, we'll take this, and then I'll add this and blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, we got a record, and it came out. I was a senior in high school. I was 16 years old. I was a senior at ML King. And It was like, you know, you seen the Five Heartbeats movie, you know?
Yeah. Hello?
There's a song on the radio. You know, the three of us were riding in the car.
Cutting out.
And we were all together. We're like just screaming and going off, man. It's like, and wow.
Man.
Then soon after that, he was touring and he said that he wanted us to open for him and also be part of his rhythm section. So I'm like, okay, well, cool. You know, double
unbelievable
duty.
Unbelievable.
You know, so now we're like playing like our tunes, you know, little stuff that we had on our album and whatnot. And then we're playing with Grover as well, and doing that all over the world. And then next thing you know, next year we're doing it again, you know, it's year after year. So we wind up going all over the world with Grover opening his pieces, and you know, and I was like one of his main keyboard players, you know, and then I broke my wrist. Yeah, a lot of people still come up to me about this. I broke my wrist, I think it was 19, 3 days before Pieces Grover tour.
And the tour, oh, my.
Yeah, the tour was going to be 3 months. And I'm like, nix this, man. I'm going. So I called a friend of mine from King, Curtis Dowd, another keyboard player. I called him at like about 2 o'clock in the morning from the hospital. And I said, look, what are you doing for the next couple of months? So, you know, I broke my wrist and I need somebody to, you know, play my right hand. I got an idea. You know, you come to rehearsal Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then, you know, and learn the parts, and then you'll come over to my house and learn the stuff you had to do for Pieces, and you'll be my left hand.
Oh my God, I did not know this. Wow.
Oh, you didn't know about that. Yeah, so he thought I was kidding. And then I finally got him to realize, no, I was serious. And so then the next day I had to go, you know, I actually got the cast on. And then I showed up to rehearsal about an hour later, so. And then Kurt Dowd had gotten there maybe 15, 20 minutes before me. and you know, introduced it to the guys in Grover's band in Grover. They thought it was a joke. They were like, "All right, where's the zipper?" You know, they see a cast on my left hand. I'm like,
"Oh,
no,
my God! Oh, jeez!
Wait, this is Kurt Dowd. He's gonna be my left hand. I'm gonna teach him what my, you know, what to do and blah blah blah." And they were like, "Okay, cool." You know, and fortunately, Grover was cool with all of that. So. So that's what we did, you know, and I was showing him, you know, I just got the cast on, I'm a broken wrist, I'm in pain, I'm on Percodan, Percocet, you know, Perca everything. And yeah, and I'm like 19 and, you know, okay, here, play this and play that, and blah, 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 blah. So we did that for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Tuesday after Grover rehearsal, you know, during the day, he would come over to my house at night, and then I would show him the stuff that he had to learn for pieces. So we
James,
did that,
that
and then
is
Friday,
the craziest thing. Oh, my God.
Friday,
this is one of
the tour started, and I had that cast on. I had it on 6 weeks, and then I went to get it taken off. You know, that's normal, you know, usually time for. But the doctor said, that, you know, I broke it in a real bad spot. So they took it off and said, okay, do this. Move it like that, move it like that. I couldn't even do that. And
oh.
I was like, okay, another 6 weeks. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So
oh.
I had that cast on for the entire three-month tour with Grover. And, you know, I'm playing, like, with one hand, you know, for with pieces and Grover.
Man, you know what? You know what comes to mind right away? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? Oh. Jeez.
That's right. That's right. You know, I guess it was, you know, I mean, that level of determination and, you know, fire in the belly is
yeah.
rarely seen, you know,
yep.
anywhere, you know, and to have that at 19, I mean, I think it was probably the excitement of going on tour and, you know, all the places that we were going to go. And I was like, you know, I didn't want to not go. I'm like, I'm going.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know, the doctor was laughing at me. I was like, he told me, you got a broken bone. I was like, no, that can't be right. No, you know, I'm going to go on tour with Pieces and Grover. Like, oh, my gosh, really? When is that? Friday. He was like, oh, no, you're not going. Then he's like, well, what do you play? Look, keyboard? He's like, oh, no, forget about that. I'll tell me, I'm going. So,
hey, look. You're claiming your life. You know what? You're 19 years old. You can see that your life is going to go in a certain direction. You're not going to lay back now.
No. I was like, that had to be the craziest thing. Hey, I'm not going to let a little thing like this stop me. You know? What, broken wrist? All right, I'm a keyboard player. I can do it with one hand, whatnot. You know, and, you know, I would be getting, like, standing ovations, you know, when I take a solo. I got this thing in a cast and a sling. You know, here in Atlantic City or, you know, wherever, and, you know, Japan. And it was crazy.
You know what? I'll bet you got teased unmercifully because, you know, it got to the point where everybody got used to you with that sling on and the cast, and people were going, oh, you know, nice way to get sympathy, James, okay?
Yeah, right. You know, nice way to get sympathy. It's like, okay. But then when I, you know, get up there and play, I was like, I was not joking. I was like, no, I'm not trying to get no sympathy. I'm trying to get up here and make my presence felt so that I don't get left behind.
That's right.
You
that's
know
right.
what I mean? That's what was in my head. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to be a force, you know? And wow.
Wow. That is some kind of story. And here's what it did. Now I begin to see, you know, you and Curtis have always been, as far as folks around here are concerned, because having been here now 10 years in the Baltimore area, third go round here, but for this length of time, that's pretty, I guess, amazing to stay in this area for that long a time when you're not from here. But there are so many jazz musicians that are in Baltimore and D.C., and one of one of the folks that I've gotten to know in a really special way is David Dyson, who I know you know so well.
Exactly. You know, he's been with us for, oh gosh, I don't even know how many years now. A lot.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah, and actually this is his second outing with Pieces. You know, he did a few things with us before, but, you know, he's been with us, you know, on a consistent basis for, gosh, I don't know. Don't even get me to lying, but I would say
2001, right? Maybe about 2001 or so?
That sounds about right. I was going to say at least a decade, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. And he always has such love when he speaks of you. And what that particular tour did with Grover, it cemented in you something that David has always said, because one of the ways that he describes you is generous. And what you have done is, because Grover gave you such latitude with being so believing in you and the group as a whole, and in giving you time to make sure your light shines when you're with him, you in turn give other musicians the light to shine when they're with you. Do you ever think about that?
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
That's not a subconscious thing. That's a very conscious thing for me.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that, you know, I learned from him that, you know, I kind of patting myself after, you know, Grover in a lot of ways, you know. As big as he was the most humble and just giving of himself kind of cat. You know, if there were 1,012 people that wants his autograph, he'll sign all and, you know, talk to every one of them, you know, if he can, you know. And the you know, as you mentioned, like the latitude and the freedom that he gave us to just, okay, hey, whatever you come up with, cool, I'll take that and, you know, produce it and put it, you know, make it sound like record worthy, you know, record form and whatnot, do whatever I have to do to put that thing on it, and bam, let's roll with it, you know. So it's, you know, that kind of vibe, you know, is hard to come by, you know.
Yeah.
Just in life in general, much less music, you know. You know, anytime I get a chance to help a young up-and-coming artist or somebody, it don't even have to be young, you know, just whoever, you know, it's just trying to get from point A to point B. You know, if there's something I can do to help, then I'm going to do it. You know, if it's in my power and, you know, God's will, then I'm going to help make it happen, you know.
Well, you said a couple of words there, God's will, and a lot of folks don't necessarily understand that sometimes we have these great ideas or dreams for what we want to do, but we don't quite get it until a magic door opens one day and we see that what he has planned for us is so much better than we could have ever dreamed. Man, you are living that.
God wants us to prepare, but if you want to make them laugh, make plans.
Right. I get that, yeah. Well, you know what? I want to make sure that folks know on this really special day, and this is why, James, I wanted to have you on the show. To me, you are one of my hometown's heroes, and to have you on International Jazz Day means a lot. This record of yours, oh God, I'm so old, this album of yours from last year, In the Moment, is so sweet in a myriad of ways, and I just love that you wanted to focus your attention on what you and Curtis usually do, but you also gave room for my buddy David Dyson to shine. If it's okay, can I play For Real, his song?
Oh, please do. That is one of my favorites from the album.
I really
love that song. And we play that live as well. That's in the show. You know, we can't always do, you know, we put out a new album and then we can only do but so many things, but because there are so many older things that we have to do in concert, but this one is a song that we actually perform live when we do have, you know, enough time to do so. And for real, it's just it's very Pieces sounding, I feel.
Oh yeah, it definitely it is. And you know, to us around this region, he is top drawer as far as bass playing. So when he adds that groove, we could just tell that you were all smiling when you were recording this.
I was. I really was. You know, it's so deep that you know, it's like you can hear me smiling in my.
Yes.
Yeah. It's. That's very, very true. I mean, you know, I really did have a ball, like, getting into that. And, you know, he sent me, you know, the basis of the track itself. And then I just, you know, added some things and put my little piano and little doodads and little ear candy. And I was just having a ball with it. It just felt so right, you know. So, yeah, and this is what turned out of that, you know, for real.
Man. It is like having the best peach of your life in the summertime and eating it slowly. That's what it's like.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really so about you know, letting everybody in the group get their just desserts. You know, not just playing on the album, but also, you know, affording them the chance to do some writing and, you know, some. Bless us with their creativity, you know.
Yeah,
that's really important. You know, I know for a fact that, you know, not all groups do that, you know. And you know, I think it, yeah, it's just best, you know, if you have some beasts, you know, among you, don't restrain them. You know, if you're
that's
blessed
right.
with a beast, you know, don't hold it back, you know. Let it roam, you know, let it do its thing, you know.
I absolutely agree. Look, a lot of groups, nobody I know actually were in your shoes, because you talk about a blessing. You had Daddy Grover Washington Jr. Making sure that you learned how to do things the right way, and you have carried that torch. And you know what? When you do good, good things happen. And when folks hear this, I'm going to play, and we're going to both let them hear. This is from Pieces of a Dream, In the Moment. Check this song out, because every good thing is in this song on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woohoo! Now, here's the thing about Pieces of a Groove, Pieces of a Dream. Listen to me, because I am so stuck on groove right now. Pieces of a Dream through the years. When you hear the stamp of that group through the years, James, here's what it is, and this is so mystifying and so magic, but it's like falling in love. You can't really explain it, and why would you want to describe it? Because it would lose its mystery. When you hear a Pieces of a Dream song, you feel as though that song has been with you since the beginning of when you heard music. It feels so familiar to you. It's like coming home time and time again, although it's completely new. But that's how familiar you are. I'm telling you, when I hear one of your songs, I am right back in my hometown, and memories come back at me that I thought I had forgotten. It's a beautiful thing.
Wow, man, thank you so much. That is so awesome to hear. You know, it's not easy, not a very easy thing to do, you know, to stay current but also stay true to yourself and what people have come to expect of you, you know, because sometimes those are three different things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To try and, you know, juggle that, you know, a lot of times what people, I guess, would may come to expect of Pieces might not necessarily be where we are, but, you know, maybe it was where we were, you dig? I mean, we've had, like, as you said, 20 albums, and 20 albums, you know, multiply that by, what, average of 10 songs, an album that's like 200 songs, you know, you figure a few of them are remakes, you know, but, you know, the rest are original, and it's not always easy to come up with something new yet old at the same time. Yeah, that's a heck of a juggling act, you know? It's like, okay, how do you stay current and then, you know, ahead of the game a bit and, you know, and trying to steer the future and at the same time hold on to your roots and your past and the audience that has gotten you to that point in the first place, you dig? So,
I do... see it, and see the thing about you, and in talking to you, there is such enthusiasm still. After all this time, you still get excited. You still get wired by all of it, and that's the big difference, because there are times, if I was in your shoes, having this kind of musical success, being involved in this beautiful scenario for 37 years, there would be times when I would think, wow, do I deserve this? I'm not sure, but it's happening. You will always have that enthusiasm, and it's childlike, and it's beautiful. That is why you're able to create this kind of music all the time, because you still get pumped. It's like being a little kid looking at a candy store going, oh, shoot, I want that.
You know, I agree with you totally, Trish. It's like I do feel like that makes a difference, you know, having that type of enthusiasm and not letting yourself get too jaded by the business side of things, which, you know, it can do. You know, there's a lot of stuff in this industry that, you know, it can make you feel a certain way, you know, and you know, can get you a little down in the mouth a bit. But then, you know, I watch things like American Idol, and I see the enthusiasm and the newness that these people have. They're like, oh, you know, I would give anything to, you know, I hear some of the statements like, I would give anything to be on stage and have people coming out and paying to hear my music. I'm like, wow, really? Man, like, that's my life. that's the only job I've ever had.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, that's such a blessing to be able to say that and have lived that and still live in that, you know. And then I see these people, I'm like, wow, you know, it's almost like I kind of relive it through young eyes. And it's inspiring. You know, they inspire me to hold on to that kind of enthusiasm for what it is that I do, you dig? And...
Yeah.
And I feel if I can do that, then I can bring other people along with me, you know, and get them enthused about it is, you know, at least somewhat as much as I am. And that's what I feel like I'm here to do.
Oh, well, you sure are. Some of these guys and gals actually that are on these shows, the reason why they were initially inspired to pursue music is because many of them heard Pieces of a Dream all over the world and thought, you know what, if I could play like James Lloyd, with or without that broken wrist, if I could play like him, if I could sound like that, if I could magically transform that groove to what fuels me to get up each day and possibly convey that on a stage, I would do anything. So you say that you're inspired by these young bloods. Let me tell you something. It's a two-way street. That is so beautiful. Man.
Woo! That's what's up. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yes, I agree. And you know what? I'm not going to keep you too much longer. Please tell me this.
I'm having a ball with you. Keep me longer. I'm serious.
Oh, good.
I'm serious. I'm no hurry, girl. We can rap. Yes, we can get as deep as you want.
Oh,
I'm all
man.
Yours right now.
Okay.
I'm all yours.
Well, then, you know what? I'll ask you the deep question here, because there is
sure.
a reason why you're on this show, which is usually Tuesdays and Thursdays, but it's International Jazz Day. And, you know, the whole premise, James, for UNESCO to want to have this kind of day is to foster peace and a way of understanding, and they thought jazz would be the perfect vehicle to do that all over the world. How do you feel about that, and what is it like for you to go to different countries and get that kind of love from folks that you don't even know, whose language you can't even understand?
Yeah, I feel it really is. You know, it's like that type of unification, you know, that comes along with at least this genre of music. I feel it's unprecedented, you know. I can't totally speak for, you know, other genres, you know, as I haven't, like, you know, gone on the road with that, you know, those things, you know what I mean? And seeing all the inner workings. But, you know, with jazz and smooth jazz, contemporary jazz, you know, all of the facets and labels of it, there's just this solidarity and this unification that's like, just as you said, you know, people who don't even speak the language when we've gone to other countries. And then, you know, they, because we've had vocal songs on our albums as well. And
sure.
Here's somebody singing, you know, 4-5-4 that can't even, you know, can't even count to five in English, you know. And, yeah, that's just so amazing. And the recognition, you know, of and the love and support of people in other countries has been really great for Pieces. You know, we've gotten to go to some fantastic places. You know, we played. We've gotten to play for the troops. You know, at Kunsan and Osan in Korea, you know, the air base and Navy base, and Do you remember years ago when they bombed Rhein-Main Air Force Base in Germany?
Yeah.
Somebody drove in there with like a car bomb kind of thing.
Wow,
yeah.
Yeah, we were scheduled
to play there 3 days after that.
Whoa.
And, yeah. Yeah, you know, so, you know, I mean, that's one of those things that you don't expect. Just like, okay, hey, we got our tickets, you know, we had them for a while, blah, 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 and we're all scheduled to go, you know, we're going to play for the troops, we're playing this night and that night, and blah, blah, blah. And then this thing just happens. You know, you see it on the news, you're like, whoa. And they called us and asked if, you know, well, they're really gracious and understanding. They said, look, you know, if y'all don't want to come, it's cool. We get it. But if you do, we'd still like you to come, and we'll make sure, you know, everything is everything. So we talked about it, and we're like, you know what? We're going. You know,
man.
We're going to go. We figured,
That's awesome. Okay.
Something like this just happened. So the measures that they're going to take from this point right now, at least for quite a while, are going to be, you know, extremely safe. So
yes. Yeah.
You know what? We're going to go. We're going to go. And we figured that they probably needed something like that after something like that.
You're right.
You know, that was probably the big. Went to Rhein-Main. We went and played there 3 days after, you know, they bombed it, and we were at the while they checked everything for about 3.5 hours, you know, while they did whatever they had to do, and we're like, cool, that's whatever y'all got to do is fine, do it, and then we played two. Troops.
You know what, James? I'm losing you a little bit because there's little stretches there, and I'm not sure if it's the weather here or the landline for either one of us or what. But I want to make sure that we heard that last part of the story because this is really important. You are so right about those folks needing you after a tragedy like that because. Everybody is on disconnect when something like that happens. And if there is no sign of hope or relief, man, people suffer and go into a depressive state for days. You probably did a lot to heal those wounds after that.
Yeah, you know, and that, to me, that's what it's all about. You know, if I can touch somebody like that, you know, it then it's not about the dollars. It's not about, you know, going doing a show. Hi, you know, I'm a big wig. You know, I'm somebody somewhere. You know, if you, like, really touch somebody like that, I mean, I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I was in such and such a war, and I used to listen to your music. I had y'all in my headphones, you know, while I'm out there in the field. And that helped get me through, you know. And I'm like, whoa. You know. The thing that's like, really, you know, it's like, dang.
I really am
here for a reason, you know.
And you know what? That life's irony because you understand so much. I mean, here's somebody who is dirty, hasn't eaten, don't know if they're going to see somebody's family again, making sure this country is safe, and we're back here sipping on Mai Tais. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's really some kind of.
And these cats are telling me, like, you know, your music got me through. You know, I can't help but be touched by something like that. You know, and those type of things. It's like, wow, that's life, you know.
If I didn't
make it to the end of this sentence, you know, I feel like, hey, I've served my purpose here, you know.
Oh yeah, well, you know, that's further proof that it's just not a career for you. It's let's just call it what it is. It's a ministry. This is what you do.
It's a ministry, exactly. It really is. You know, it's something that God has given me to do since I can remember. I mean, you know, I started taking piano lessons when I was 6.
Oh, man.
And it was something. My older brother was 8, and he'd started taking piano lessons first. And, of course, you know, me being a younger brother, you know, I couldn't stand to see him do anything I wasn't doing, so I wanted to go too. That's the only reason I went. It wasn't like, you know, I wanted to go first or blah, blah, blah. He was going first. He was already going. And then I wanted to go too. So next thing you know, by the time he was finished the first piano book, I was finished the third. You know, yet I was 2 years younger. Then, you know, not long after, he dropped out because, you know, that was like Saturday morning. He wanted to stay home and watch the cartoons. You know, I wanted to stay home and watch the cartoons too, but I liked going to piano lessons as well. And, you know, my piano teacher would give us lollipops. So then my brother going, I would get 2 lollipops. And, you know, most of the time I would bring him his, and sometimes I would just keep them both. You know, so to me that was kind of cool, you know. And I was 6 years old, and my piano teacher, Virginia Elizabeth Griffin, she was 89 at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she taught, like, you know, I guess probably in music all and stuff all her life. She taught, like, ballet, violin. She played the harp, you know, she taught piano. I'm like, I don't even know how deep she was, but walking to the music store, you know, down the street, I could barely keep up with her. She was so spry, and, you know, and I'm 6 and she's 89, and I'm taking a couple steps, and I got to start running, you know, to keep up with her.
That is hilarious. Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah,
you know, and that's how I started, you know, with music, period. And then it just progressed, and, you know, I would, like, my parents would, you know, mom would take me to the store and get me sheet music, you know, different songs, and then I would be on the record player all the time playing stuff, and then I'd run up to the piano and try and play what it was that I was listening to on the record, you know. And then there'd be, like, cool TV theme shows on television that I would learn them, you know, and play those, you know, theme to Good Times, the theme to, you know, to Jeff, the theme to Sanford and Son, the theme to Taxi, you know, the
awesome.
Theme to Hill Street Blues, you know.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like, okay, everything I heard is like I wanted to play, you know, since I could remember.
That is so cool, especially with the TV theme songs, because immediately I thought of Route 66, which is one of the greatest theme songs of all time on that TV show back in the 60s.
Oh,
a little bit before your time. Yeah, you remember that?
No, I remember Route 66, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
Route 66. I used to watch all of those shows, Route 66 and Rifleman and Manic.
Rifleman, oh, my God.
You remember Rifleman who come on like night and
oh God, Chuck Connors. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Rifleman. He come on boom, boom, boom. He's cocking that thing. Like, that was my show. You know, so it's like, yeah.
Man,
pretty
that
music was just already in me. You know, it's something like God already had planned, and you know, I'm just trying to play my part. Just trying to do my part, you know. And it's like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. Well, I'm going to try and be the best at it and do the best I can with it and help others to do the same thing and to keep it going and, you know, help the up-and-comers to keep it going. And that's the best part. And when I go home, I can rest easy saying that, you know what, hey, I did what I could.
you sure are, and let me tell you that right there about giving back, because you've been given so much, means the world. And just, you know, kind of saying this in a different way, I said it earlier, but when you have all that good intention, it just can't help but surface in making people so profoundly grateful for your music. You know, I was listening to In the Moment, and thank you to Gar Roberts, by the way, who made sure this whole situation happened. I love me some Gar, James. Can I just say that publicly?
Gar's the man. He's the man.
He is the man. listening to the album anew with new ears this time around, I wanted to be able to play while you were with me Misty-Eyed, if that's okay by you.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love this song.
Thank you, thank you. You know, I am probably one of the worst musicians probably in history to name songs. I'm so bad with, like, naming tunes. I mean, my songs, they'll have names like, you know, especially when I'm starting them, they'll be like, you know, Thingy and A-flat, you know, Latin, you know, E-flat Thingy, and, you know, it's like, they just got these crazy names, and then, you know, it's like sometimes hard for me to find a name to fit something. You know, that actually, or as opposed to just slapping on a name to a song, you know, that has like a, you know, a catchy name, you know, hey, Groove Thing, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of vibe, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I just can't do that, right? So, I mean, you're just cracking up at me, that's all right. But, so it's like really hard for me to, like I said, name songs. And my wife and I actually were listening to that. You know, I just completed it for the album and everything. Actually, that's an older song that, you know, I kind of dusted off and put on this album. And, you know, I was trying to think of a name for it. And, you know, I said, you know, we were listening to it, and I told her that, you know, it's funny. It's like I wrote this song, but still, every time I hear it, I get misty-eyed.
Aww.
And she's like, wow, there's your name right there. Hey, why not? Yeah, what, misty-eyed? Yeah, misty-eyed, you know. So maybe someone else will listen to this song and, you know, it'll touch a moment in their life or you know, a period or an event or something, you know, someone has gone too soon or anything, you know, something that gets you misty-eyed, you dig? And
oh, yeah.
That's pretty much what I was tapping into.
You packed a lot of love into this song. Isn't it funny how you can feel the love? Sometimes you can feel it so much that it almost hurts you in a good way. That's what it was like.
That's a great phrase there, hon. Oh, my gosh. Hurts you in a good way. Yes, I feel that. I feel that.
Man, well, I'm going to play this song, and you can decide if you want to stick around, and we'll either wrap things up now, or if you want to.
Man, I ain't going nowhere.
Well, I'm going to play the song then, and I'll come back, and woo, this is so much fun, James. I can't tell you how much it means to me to have somebody from Philadelphia and the caliber of artist that you are to just want to share so many stories and so many feelings, because doggone it, you put a lot of feeling into this. This is James Lloyd and Pieces of a Dream from In the Moment and Misty-Eyed on Hybrid Jazz. Listen to this. Man, you know, you talk about rare. It's pretty rare when you can feel both the sensual and the spiritual side of a song. That song has both. Now, James, it's just the way my mind works. Please forgive me. But if Hill Street Blues was still on, that would be the song that would be played when the police chief is in the bathtub with the lawyer. You know, and then it would shoot right into a precinct shot. Man, it just, that's the vibe.
Oh, you're crazy like me. I love it. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, it just made some kind of imagery that song projects. Woo! I don't know where I am after I hear that song. And apparently the people in the chat room don't know where they are either. So,
you know, something just like when I was listening to that, one thing came to mind that, you know, for myself and I'm sure a lot of musicians, a lot of what comes out of us comes from pain and, well, basically pain and good times.
Mm.
It's either one or the other. You know? Music comes out of pain. Music comes out of good times for people that music comes out of. And both, I guess, venues, arenas are, you know, useful, and they turn into different things. That one right there was more from, you know, pain and from the good side, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, like lost my dad, then my mom, and then my best friend, like back to back. Yeah, it was like, you know, it was one of those shut down periods, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oof.
And, you know, tunes like that are, you know, can be not only healing for others, but for me, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oof.
Yeah. I guess, you know, a lot of times people don't think of where the music comes from musicians, you know, and some things that they hear from artists that they like, but that, you know, they may touch them in a special way, you know, like they could be, you know, a Dave Kahn song or, you know, Al Jarreau song or whatever, or something that, you know, that the way that they're performing it, that just like get you, you know. And yeah, a lot of times those songs are coming from one place or the other.
Well, and, you know, Frankie Beverly, Sunshine and Pain, you know, that's the first thing I think of. Sunshine and Pain, Joy and Rain.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's a man that was like, you know, hey, I'm going through them both right now, you know. It's like, man, this is simultaneous. This is crazy, you know. So he's probably going through some crazy period within himself that it's like joy and pain, you know.
Yeah.
Like, dang, you know.
Yeah. Wow, that song, no wonder there was an extra measure of something in that. You know, some songs can really hit you in a particular way. And, you know, you don't know what someone is enduring when a musical piece like that hits so hard. But isn't it amazing, James, that you were able to sort of convey to me, at least, and if it's me, then I speak for hundreds, if you're able to convey something that is so strong in that song, isn't that the ultimate power of instrumental music? Language
really
free.
Is.
Yeah.
It really is, you know. And, you know, if I think that's almost the ultimate power. I think the ultimate power is touching someone else, you know, in the same way or whatever with your music, or they feel them feeling the emotion that you're putting out, you know, and getting it, you know,
yeah.
Even though they might not know the particulars, you know, but it's like, hey, I get it. You know, I know exactly what what you're talking about.
Mm.
And
without any words. I mean, that is so trippy to conceive. And people just, you know, when you stop to think about that, you've heard people say to you, if it wasn't for this song, I wouldn't have gotten through the day.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, that's powerful.
You know, these people are protecting your way of life, you know, that you don't even think about.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
yep.
Hey, that's just on the news. Well, to them, that ain't just something on the news. You know, they are the news. You know, they're the ones that's, like, in it, that's, you know, get no just desserts and, you know, barely a welcome or anything, you know. And they're like, this helped me get through, you know.
And James, a lot of those folks come back from service to the country, and you know, they resume their lives, and it's a little bit tricky for them to resume their lives because they didn't get the help in making that transition from wartime to peacetime, and they're going about their daily lives, and they still go back, you know, to your music because Pieces of a Dream has the kind of sound that stays with you. You want to know everything about the band. You want to know all of the albums. You want to know We Are One, Imagine This, Joyride, About That Time, In Flight. You want to know Love Silhouette and Acquainted with the Night, all of it. Through the years, the group has actually helped to make people want to get up another doggone day.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you say to that except, hey, thank you.
you know,
thank you and thank you, God, for, you know, giving me that, period, you know?
And yeah.
It's simplest. And, to have that kind of impact on somebody's life or well-being, that's really what music is all about. That truly is, I think. You know, it's not just about, okay, I'm going to make a record and, you know, I'm going to sell a record and, you know, boy, I'm going to get to the top of the Billboard. Hey, you know, I'm going to get a Grammy. Yay, you know, I win. No. You know, what's really winning is touching people.
Yes. Yes. And supporting, making sure that you're supported. That's a very big deal, and it's part of International Jazz Day, too, and we can't dismiss that because people now in 2014 need to understand, don't give me any more of these stories about being poor in the mouth, not being able to support your favorite artists, because now we're seeing the light. We're seeing some inroads. People are getting work, and you have money for everything else. So it's time to support the people, the artists that you love. And I say this because we want to make sure people know you're coming to Blues Alley. You're
yes.
coming to Blues
yes,
Alley, doggone it.
Hey, in beginning of June, yeah.
Yes,
that's
yes.
it. We're going to be there
Excellent.
Three nights and looking forward to that. You know, Blues Alley is such a great place to see, you know, not just us, but any artist, really.
Yeah.
It's one, it's such an iconic venue, you know, in the jazz world, period.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one of the first time we played there, we opened for Milt Jackson.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I think I'm like, what, 15, maybe 16.
Oh, my gosh.
And We opened for Milt Jackson. Yeah, that's back when they had opening acts for, you know, for a band. Usually
that's
nowadays,
awesome.
It's
yeah.
just whoever's playing there is just playing there. There's no opener, right?
Yes. Yep.
And I remember Milt Jackson wanted us to go on tour with him in Europe for 6 months, but I was, what was I, 15 or so, 16, and, you know, my parents weren't having it, Kurt's parents weren't having it, Zeddy's parents weren't having it, like, no, you're not leaving school, you know, to go on tour with this guy for 6 months in Europe,
I completely understand that, but, yo, Milt Jackson asking you to come on the road, whoa!
Yeah, you know, it's like that's something you never forget, you know. And yeah, that was like our first time, I believe, playing at Blues Alley. If I'm correct.
There have been, anytime you come there, I mean, look, let me tell you something. Anytime you pop into this region, people are like, oh, you see he's coming? Peace of Dreams coming. I mean, the word is on the street just like that. Whoa, no matter what the venue is that you're playing. And bluesalley.com has the information. I'm going to tell a story, and then I'm going to let
have
you go.
A dish on the menu.
A what?
We even have a dish on the menu. Yeah, we've graduated to the, you know, to that status at Blues Alley, which is truly an honor. You know, we have the Pieces of a Dream, I believe it's Grilled Chicken Caesar.
Oh, my God, you do. I forgot all about that as many times as I've been there. Pieces of a Dream has a dish on the doggone menu.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that feels really good. You know, I must say that's truly an honor, you know, to have a dish at a place like Blues Alley. And you
internationally
know, like,
known, yes. Woo!
With Jamal and Dizzy Gillespie, and you know what I mean? Like, whoa.
Yeah,
you,
right.
Really? What? Y'all put us on the menu?
Right, that's
oh
what
my,
Danny
oh
Harmon
God.
Used to beat you. Danny Harmon used to beat you guys over the head with Ahmad Jamal. Now you're sharing space on a menu.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, that is so cool. Look, I'm going to tell a little bit of a story here, and I'm not going to name names, but I just want to let folks know the power of Pieces of a Dream, and then I'm going to say goodbye to you so we can play a little bit and then make way for my other guest. But listen, James, I want you to know this, the power of the group. Several years ago, I saw you in an undisclosed location, not saying where. You were opening up for who is now an internationally known act. So we came, quite honestly, to see Pieces of a Dream. And we're sitting there enthralled. And let me tell you, we were not alone. Every single person in that audience freaked out. You were doing your gyrations on the keyboard, and nobody could believe what you were doing. And then Chris was doing his thing. And then you had a sax guy that was with you, no names, because then people will begin to figure out the period of time. The sax guy was on fire. Well, let me tell you something. By the time the internationally known act came onto the stage, some folks had left the building.
Dang. Oh, my God. Already left. Dang.
They already left because they had been to the mountain, and there was no way.
Game over, man.
They had seen Jesus, and they knew it was time to go home.
Oh, my goodness. What? What?
Oh, seriously. I mean, we felt sorry. We felt sorry. Because...
Wow.
Everybody knew, oh, there's just no way that it's going to be just sad from now on. And that was the truth. So, look, I leave you with that. You are the band that rocks the universe. ladies and gentlemen. Please know this, James Lloyd has been with us. And if you get a chance to see Pieces of a Dream, this will be the night that you will discuss for years to come.
That's right. That's right.
That's
you
right.
You tell them, girl.
You know that I will, because I fully intend to see you at Blues Alley and reacquaint myself with the guys. And we've just met once through Gar, but it will be great to see you again.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to it. It's only a couple weeks, huh?
I know. It's the end of May into the beginning of June, so that's 3 nights. No excuse for anybody around here.
Since I was 16, so, yeah, I've been playing there for 33 years.
Woo!
Is
wow.
that crazy or what?
Man, you might as well have a cot that you call yours in the building.
You dig? It's like, ah, that's the spot right there at the bar.
Oh, man. I'm so tickled that you had the time, and I'm going to leave with In the Moment by Pieces of a Dream, because this is one of those songs that is your sound so completely, and I just love the band. I love that you and I are from the same hometown. Philly rocks with every fiber of its being, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So much music coming out of there. I mean, past and present. So look out, y'all.
Yeah, yeah, right. Oh, thank you, James Lloyd. I appreciate you with everything I have. I really do have enjoyed all of this, and there are more good times to be had.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, and thank you for all the love and support.
You are only going to get love and support from this corner. Anytime you got something to plug, something to move, you come here. It's your home.
All right. Well, I'm going to be taking you up on that real soon. I got something else that I'm working on.
Really?
Yeah, some different stuff. Yeah, something that hadn't really been done in a while, you know? Well, at all, really. To be honest, you know, something that nobody's really doing nowadays.
Oh, my God, he's dangling the carrot in front of us.
Yeah. Got a little something special I'm working on, something different. You know, it ain't pieces. It's, you know, yeah.
Uh-oh. All right, then. Well, it looks like Gar Roberts and I are going to be best friends. Please. Yeah. Sounds great. Okay.
You're in so you will be one of the first people to know, actually. And,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
once it's like, done, then, I'll make sure you get an exclusive preview.
Oh, my head's going
to
be on fire all day.
That's right. You know, and then I'll have to spend, like, you know, another hour and a half or something, you know, with kicking it about that. All right?
Well,
so there.
You know what?
There you go.
Hey, look, the next time you come back, you can just hang with me for the show and you can play some of your favorite music.
Done deal.
Okay, cool. I like that. We'll hook it up.
All right,
James.
Oh, man. It was awesome. This was awesome.
This really was. I appreciate it. And you for everything that you're worth. And we're going to have a blast when you come to Blues Alley, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, James.
Philly Girl 2, what? Look out now. You know,
yes,
the party already started.
You have a wonderful day. Stay out of that rain.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. James Lloyd, Pieces of a Dream. Let's get to it. In the Moment, title track from this really sublime CD on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll be right back. This is Hybrid Jazz. Right there,
don't stop what you do. Sure is not every time you hit that sweet spot.
I'm telling you, and it's just not fair because she sings that way too. And she's also a social and environmental activist. She's an amazing person. She takes delight in her organic vegetable garden, and she writes songs, and she gets in the face of those who would try to change the women of the Philippines. That's where she's from. And she gets very upset when she sees that women in her country don't want to be anything else but Filipinas. Matter of fact, there's been a couple of instances where she has been quite public about that, and that's why I love her so. And then she sings a song like that from Something Good, by the way, 2010, what she calls essentially Jazzapino. She wanted to make sure that all of her roots when she was a little girl and sang on back of the tour buses in her little region in the Philippines, she wanted to incorporate traditional folk songs and the kind of music that her mother would sing with jazz, and she calls it Jazzapino. She's got something new out, and I'm very intrigued. I haven't heard it, but there's interpretations of favorite songs, so when I get a hold of that, I'll let you know. A lot of music that we wanted to cover, but we had such a good time with James. Oh, it was so wonderful to talk to James Lloyd, and we heard the title track from In the Moment. Again, if you want to find out about where they're going to be playing, piecesofadream.net, specifically Blues Alley is bluesalley.com. That'll take care of that. The song in the middle is Luis Munoz from Invisible, also from 2010, same year for the Charmaine Clamore CD. Adam's Dream is what it's called, all about his son. And I wanted to make sure that not only the Philippines, but Costa Rica was given some props today since it's International Jazz Day. Luis, now living in Santa Barbara, and he's going to be celebrating IJD tonight, continuation from last night, at the Blue Agave in Santa Barbara. Just beautiful territory there. And when you get to see this composer, arranger, producer, and percussionist do his thing live, man, it's like this hush falls over the audience. You can just tell, right? Oh, and he's got some things in the works, too. Like James, I'm going to smack his hand when I see him because I had no idea that James had something else cooking. We'll find out about that later. But Luis has a vocal album on the way, as well as a new CD called Three Quarters, which is both trio and quartet. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him on Hybrid Jazz about that. Don't forget, top of the hour, about 20 minutes to go or so, Greg Adams of Tower of Power fame and East Bay Soul. Man, it's going to be cooking when these guys come to the East Coast and do their tours. Last time they played at Ram's Head, this is 2 years ago now, it took a while for Annapolis to recover. So we're just bracing ourselves this time around, and we have tickets to the show for the June 15th performance at Ram's Head Sunday night and CDs to go along with it. So if you're listening and you're not in the chat room, make sure you either message me or call me when Greg is with us during the 3 p.m. hour, which is not going to make any sense for those in the archives listening later, but that's Eastern time. We're based in Baltimore as of this moment. That will change later on in the year, but for right now, we're in Baltimore, so it's always Eastern time that we talk about. Let's get to Sheikh Ndoye, shall we? Let's represent Senegal. This is A Child's Tale from 2009 on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. From Light My Fire a few years ago, and accompanied by Gilberto Gil, who wrote the song all about the beautiful ladies of Bahia, that particular part of Brazil where they do the parade, the once upon a time strictly Catholic kind of parade that turned into something else, and there's just these incredibly beautiful women that take part in this you know, there's so many kinds of processions that they have in Rio or in different parts of Brazil. And, of course, the song is in Portuguese, so I wish I could translate. But they really did a good job of conveying a little bit of a message. Gilberto is one of these characters that is a superstar in Brazil. And he and Eliana have this great relationship. And it's those two accompanied by Amanda Brecker, who has been on Hybrid Jazz, who is the daughter of Eliana Elias and Randy Brecker. Just a beautiful work. Eliana, of course, pianist, vocalist, band leader, and on the album as well, the late, great Oscar Castro Neves. Just sparked this whole different kind of vibe in the room here. Every girl from Bahia is what the translation of the song is, and if I can try to pronounce it, Toda Menina Baiana. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Brazil represented as well as Senegal. Sheik Ndoye, A Child's Tale to start the set. He is so busy, bassist, composer, being with Althea Renee at Blues Alley coming up, also at the Baked Potato in June. Some dates with Lau Tizer and Karen Briggs, and in November with Patrice Russian. He has a new CD out as well, Sheik Ndoye. And then Daniel Domage in the mix, guitarist and composer from the French wine country. Whew, Have a Good Day from his Lost in My Thoughts CD. And as you remember, before that, it was Patchwork a few years ago. Lost in My Thoughts came out last year. Got a song to play right before we hear from Greg Adams from East Bay Soul. We're going to have a ticket giveaway sometime in this last hour of the show. I wanted to make sure, though, that we played a birthday baby. Fred Yane's birthday is today, 41 or 42. He's a youngie still. This is from Front and Center, Frederick Yane, and What a Wonderful World. That's in honor of International Jazz Day on Hybrid Jazz.
still can remember just how it began. A friend introduced us, and I took her hand. Then something went through us, and she felt it too. Someone said something, but no words came through. Against us, our two separate hearts, we burned in the evening, and then we would part. Her voice would come to me, and soon I would know.
Why we love East Bay Soul so much, because you get to see the basic love that you can feel on some of those ballads, and everything that you are thinking about a loved one comes to the surface when you hear that kind of delivery and that kind of music with that kind of artistry. But then it kicks into full gear, and then you hear the up-tempo stuff, so you have the best of all worlds. And making this absolute magic happen, and he's done it for decades, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to give you the band leader of East Bay Soul, the artist, the composer, the consummate musician, the arranger, the businessman personified, the amazing Greg Adams. Greg, how are you?
Hi, Trish. How are you doing?
I'm really good. I'm tickled now that you're on the phone with me. How are things with you? Are you pumped?
Well, you know, we're getting ready. We have about a month or so, I guess, to go before we hit the road. But, you know, we're looking forward to it, getting back east again and of course, playing in Annapolis. That's one of our big stops. And, we, you know, we're...
I know.
The band is always evolving, and you know, I'm starting to think about writing for the next CD. And, you know, I'm just always staying busy. I've been in the studio now with a lot of people doing, like, what I always do is recording sessions. And I just am going in Thursday with Paul Brown, a guitar player. And
oh, wow.
And then, yeah, and then we're doing some stuff for some Japanese clients that I'm working with. I've worked with for several years. And with that, I'll be working with Eric Marienthal. And,
oh, wonderful.
So I'm busy, you know, staying real busy. We're doing the benefit this weekend for Michael Paulo, his benefit for the Boys and Girls Club of Temecula, California, which is where he lives. And a lot of people on that show. Once again, Paul Brown, Steve Oliver, Ray Parker Jr. truly,
wow.
It's a big show. He does it every year. Excuse me. And I do it like every other year. He tries to trade out, you know, and get, you know, different people on the show. And Michael has just become so busy doing, promoting his own stuff that he had to bow out from East Bay Soul. So we have a new guy on sax, Greg Vail. He's a great player. He plays
everything. Oh, definitely. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he'll be with us. Yeah, he'll be with us back east on this trip. And so, you know, like I say, you know, with a band, the bigger the band gets, the deeper the bench you have to have. Because so many times, I mean, I'm so fortunate to have great players. But with great players are in demand. And so sometimes when the schedule comes up, some of the guys aren't available, you know, because they're in such demand. And so... Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat this morning. It just won't leave.
Poor baby.
But we, you know, with Herman, our drummer Herman Matthews, he's been playing with the actor Hugh Laurie on the show House. He fashioned himself as a singer, and they've been going around the world. I think Herman is in New Zealand at this point, but he'll be back for East Coast states. And... you know, like I said, you just have to have a lot of subs, you know, and a lot of guys with the book ready to step in, you know, kind of in a few weeks' notice, you know, if necessary. So, you know, it's sometimes it's a drag, but it's always great to know that you can get good guys at a moment's notice. And the band, you know, I don't want to tip my hat, but it's such a good band that a lot of guys want to play in it, you know. So.
Oh, definitely, yes.
We've got a new guitar player also. His name is Keita Matsuno.
James
Lewis, my writing partner and guitarist with me for the last 19 years, has decided to retire. He just doesn't like to go on the road anymore. It's too tough on him. And, hey, if you can afford to retire, great. My hat's off.
Yes, exactly. Right.
But this new guitar player, Keita, he's a monster. So... look for him in the future. He's just we just had auditions a couple of weeks ago, and he had some Jeff Beck moments that were like stunning.
What?
So obvious choice. So we're looking forward to debuting him with the band in the future. So it's all good. But you know, we're starting to pick up dates here and there, and we'll be in the East Coast. In June, so it's going to be fun. I'm looking for the consummate crab cake, which has been very elusive to us the last couple of times we've been back there. It just hasn't been showing itself. So I'm going to be on the lookout. Both Andrea and I we struck out the last time we were back there, and I'll do the shout out. Anybody knows where I can get a good crab cake in Annapolis? Please let me know.
Well, now, look, I have to tell you this, Greg. As much as I appreciate the city of Annapolis, you and Andrea might have to go a little bit out of that jurisdiction because, you know, you've got some folks who are lovely folks who live there, but you've got a snootier element as well. And I say that because the folks who are the mom-and-pop who know how to cook the crab cake correctly, they might not be at these upper echelon restaurants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, home cooking is always the best. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. And especially when it comes to crab cake. So, look, if we can't find someplace between now and then, I'll tell you what, a few of us will bring crab cakes to you. How's that?
It's a deal.
Okay. Because I don't want you to suffer needlessly over looking for the perfect crab cake, because there are so many folks in Maryland who claim, oh, no, mine's the best. Oh, you got to come to Essex. Oh, you got to come to Baltimore. Look, if you can't find something within that region, because I know you only have a few days to stay, we'll just come to you. That's all there is to it.
It's a small window of opportunity.
Yes, I know, because you've got a few dates. And I see that Yolanda Bell, who, if you haven't met already, you will, she makes notice of the fact that you'll be at Catalina Jazz and Grill. That's going to be coming up June the 8th as well.
June the 6th, actually. And
June
then
the 6th,
we're in,
okay.
Yeah, and then we're in, the next night we're in Seal Beach at Spaghettini, a
oh,
local
wow.
place for us to play. And that's our local shows we're doing. And haven't played at Catalina's for years. And we played at the old location, and it was just a small club. And it's still, they moved. They're in Hollywood now on Sunset. And it's still a small venue, but we're going in there just because we seem to be, you know, just playing in the area at Spaghettini. We need to, like, branch out a little bit. So we're going to give that a shot and see how it goes. A lot of people who live up here in the L.A., in L.A. County, they don't go to Orange County. So I think we have an untapped market up here. I think they'll be willing.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well.
You know, people don't want to cross the orange curtain, you know. So it's a little bit different down there sometimes. But, we love playing Spaghettini's, and it's just a great crowd that comes there and very loyal. I mean, we're doing they're going to turn the house on the night we play there. We're going to do two separate audiences in one night, because they're trying out something new. They did it with Hiroshima, and now they're trying it with us. They emptied the house. It's kind of a weird thing, because when we go to there to play, it's like, you know, we do two sets. People come, they have dinner, they see two shows, and it's the whole night. Now they're going to have to fry people out of their seats, because you got to go. We got another crowd waiting to come in, and it's I hope it works out, but we're looking forward to testing the waters, because it's a cool thing, you know, and it's a great club. It's a great restaurant, and we always enjoy playing there. We've played there for years, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not familiar with it because, gosh, I haven't been to California for such a long time, but I know that because of the fans that you have in the whole state of California, and folks will be coming from outside of the state to come to see you, no sweat. There's going to be packed houses. As that gentleman who is the manager, is it Q? Q is the manager,
yes,
right?
Q, yeah.
He is not going to believe it. It's just going to be one of those ram's head situations where, I swear to you, Greg, folks are still talking about that 2012 performance.
it's we're building, you know, and we hope that we'll have more people this time, and just by the word of mouth that of the memory of the last time we were there, we'll do even better this time, you know. And it's such a great venue, and the people that run the place, Chris, in an example, she's just been real kind to us, and we love coming there. And it's such a great little city. I mean, with the first time we were there, it was summer and it was just jam packed, and the hotel that we're staying in, we were all over the city, kind of. I stayed in one place, and maybe Joey, the keyboard player, was in the same hotel. It was like an apartment building, and the band was all spread out all over the city, but close to where you could walk to the club. It was kind of an odd experience, you know, and the city was so crowded. Now, last year, or the last time we were there in 2012, we were there in the winter, end of December, and we stayed at the Lowe's Hotel, which is a lovely, lovely hotel, and we
yes.
really had a great time. And of course, it was you know it was snowing outside. I don't know if that slowed down our crowd or not, but we had a great show. Like you said, it really was a great show. So, you know, you're only good as your last performance, as far as you know, the saying goes. Because then you hope that people take it and spread the word. So we're looking forward to a great crowd this time. And of course, it'll be summer, so it'll be nice. It's such a cool little city. I mean, we saw a lot of it when we drove in the summer a few years back because we got so lost. And we were in rent-a-cars, and we were just driving the same streets down by the water and past the Naval Academy and up around again, up in the square, the circle there, and then back down
yes.
by the water. We couldn't find this hotel that we were supposed to be checking into. And when we finally found it, it was like a lobby. It was a hotel, but no, you're not staying here. You're staying three blocks over down to the right, and then you know, and it was one of the most absurd situations for accommodation. We had never been there, so we didn't know what to expect. And the place is called Historic Inns of Rhode Island, and it sounded like a really nice place to stay. And they showed pictures of four-poster beds and canopies, and like, wow, this is kind of cool. I mean, the room I got was, okay, well, I opened my suitcase on my bed, and in order to sleep on my bed, I have to close my suitcase up and put it on in the corner because there was so little room. And there was a window, I think, about 8 feet above the floor, and it was about 2 feet by 2 feet. That was the only sunlight that came in. It was crazy, you know. Yeah, it was crazy. But anyway, we're just kind of in and out. Ramshead will be our last stop on our trip, and so this time we're going to stay at the near the airport because we have an early flight out back to L.A. the next morning. So,
gotcha.
You know, no Lowe's this time, although, you know, the difference of winter and summer on the price of hotels in Annapolis, I'm sure, is vast, you know, because it's
well,
a picturesque city, you know, and tourist trade is just bustling. So
yes,
and with that,
and,
you know, I think we'll have a lot of people just, you know, walking up to buy a ticket, you know, and once they start hearing the music out on the street, they say, I got to get a load of this, you know. So
yeah, and actually, you know what, it really would behoove Ramshead. I'll talk to Laura Price about this because I think that would be terrific, and she's so wonderful. She gave me two tickets to give away for your show, and then your amazing wife, who is the subject for The Love of My Life, by the way, the song that introed Greg before we got to this hour, Andrea said, okay, if Laura's going to give you two pairs of tickets, then I have two CDs to give away for this. So that's awesome. So we have a couple of ways to do this. If anybody wants to call, 323-843-6172. If you want to message me on my AOL account or my Facebook page or Twitter, let me know through any of those methods, and first come, first serve, because I really want folks to want to see you, Greg, because East Bay Soul is the kind of band that once you see the band in person, you are blown away. It's because on CD, it's one thing, but to see all these pieces on stage, it's crazy, and it's energized, and it's like a religious experience.
You're too kind.
Oh, no. It's insane. You made lifelong friends that
well,
day that you were at Ramshead.
You know, it's for the – well, it's not crazy, but it's amazing. Really, the first time we played Ramshead, it was like, man, what a cool hang. And the great little city, and I've always enjoyed Maryland, and for some reason, never played in Baltimore that much, but I always enjoyed it when I was with Tower of Power. And then Ramshead came up a few years back, and it was like, wow, what a great hang. And just the people have been so nice to us, and it's just been great. I did a concert and a clinic at the College of oh, geez, Southern Maryland at La Plata.
Oh, yes, yes.
And they were just the kindest and most gracious people. Randy Runyon, he's the band director down there at the school. And it's kind of funny because we went out to dinner the night I arrived, and we got crab cakes. And it was I hate to go back on crab cakes, but it was a revelation. I mean, and this place that we ate in was, I can't remember the little town, but it was in a 17th or 18th century old stable that they turned into a restaurant. And he was just telling, as we were driving,
wow,
he was telling you these stories of history, American history, that, you know, it's, you know, the 1700s, you know, stuff,
yes,
like that. The old routes where they would, you know, do the cotton run or what, just, I mean, in the battle sites. This is,
yes,
where they had a big battle over here in this big field here. And, you know, 300 people died. I'm going, man, this is historical.
Oh, man.
It's all over around here, you know. So it was like kind of, it's just so cool. I have always had a great time there. So I always look forward to coming back.
Well, we look forward to having you. It's just a certain kind of vibe. And I can't say enough about the scuttlebutt that transpired after that performance the last time you were there, because some people had come into the venue, knew exactly who you were, knew exactly who some of the players that you had in East Bay Soul, but some folks were not familiar. You just mentioned this a little while ago. Some of these people were walk-ups. So they just, a couple of people just sat down in the lobby and said, we're not going anywhere because we are so, like, gravitated to what we just heard that we can't move.
You know, it's infectious, you know, and I we hope that if there's some non-believers out there, that they'll, you know, give it a chance. You know, once you see it, you believe it. So, you know, and we're also going to be back on the East Coast for a couple more shows. We're going to be in Boston at Scullers on the 13th.
Yes.
of June, I'm sorry. And then we'll be in this new venue for us. It's called Building 24 Live. It's Wyoming, PA, which is just, I guess it's right next to Reading, Pennsylvania. And we've played the Burke's Jazz Fest several times, and so we're drawing upon that crowd. Also, we played in a, was it this outdoor gig? It was. We played at this, like, a bowl in a city park.
Oh, yeah, you played in Lancaster.
Lancaster, that's it. Yeah, that's right. And
yeah,
5,000 people showed up, and we'd never even been there before. Of course, it was a free show. I mean, it was put on by the city, and they're all, you know, it's all good. I mean, they always draw a good crowd, but, man, we could not believe it. It was like, we could do no wrong that night, and to draw 5,000 people, you know, it was just their biggest night of their season, and so this is right next door to Reading, so we're hoping to draw from that crowd. So it's really interesting, this trip, you know, and of course we love going back to Scullers in Boston. That's an institution, and we always have done very well there. So, you know, we're looking forward to hitting the road. You know.
Oh, well, believe me, it's going to mean so much. And actually, I'm going to tell you this because there is a possibility that June 15th date might be the last date for me to be at any particular function in this region because my son and I are planning a move to Florida.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yes, so we don't know when. It might be sooner rather than later, and if that's the case, we are holding on to mid-June at least so we can see you.
Oh, well, that's great. I hope so. You know, we're in Florida.
Well, actually, Dad has just moved to Punta Gorda. He now owns a house for the first time ever in his life. He had to go there for health reasons. So, Greg, we've done the research, and my son is focusing on cybersecurity in school. So we found that the best pocket of opportunity for proximity to Dad is around the Sarasota region. So that'll be Southwest Florida. So that means, Andrea, I know you're in the chat room, that means we're going to have to hook up a venue for you for next year.
That's right. That's right. It's funny. We've done, in the past, before East Bay Soul, we did very well in Florida. We'd go down, it'd be kind of funny because we'd fly all day, play the show, and then go back to the hotel and get up and fly home the next day. We do really well at some of the festivals and some of the clubs and stuff like that. One time,
oh,
we,
definitely.
It's a great place to visit. I really enjoy Florida. You know, a little muggy for me sometimes, but you know, it's great. People are great down there, and we've always had a great time. You know, so we'll see you there.
You definitely will. Oh, look, believe me, Andrea just said, hook us up, baby, in the chat room.
She's in the office. I'm out in the dining room right now. So she kind of comes out and points at my calendar to make sure I don't miss anything. You know, I just turned the page. She gave me a little calendar so I wouldn't forget. You know, it's kind of funny when if I don't have my resume of my discography of people that I've worked with, there's so many sessions I've done over the years, and I'm kind of stuck sometimes. I can't remember who I've worked with. I've done hundreds of recording sessions, you know, from Santana to the Eurythmics to Dionne Warwick to Celine Dion, and so it's like I draw a blank. You know, there's some very unique ones that are like kind of just like you would never think that I would work with, like, say, a metal band. But I don't have my resume in front of me, so I can't remember the name, but they're big, huge metal band. And I remember we went to, when I was still in Tower, we went to Japan for a tour, and we had just done this session with this band. We did it in New York, and while we were back there, we always do interviews at for local radio and television or Japanese music magazines, and they didn't want to know anything about Tower Power. They wanted to know about the horn section doing this session with this particular metal band. They were huge in Japan, and it was kind of funny because we didn't know anything about these people. They sent me the cassette. I did the arrangement. We went and did the date, and it was a very cool date. But you know, we just didn't know who they were, and all of a sudden, we were kind of told how big they are internationally and all that kind of stuff. But of people that I've worked with and now have just met in the recent past, Burt Bacharach, who.
Oh my gosh!
We were attending a memorial service for the great record producer Phil Ramone, and who died suddenly about 6 months, maybe a year ago. it was put together by Al Schmidt, the legendary recording engineer, who's got more Grammys than anybody. I think maybe even more than Quincy for engineering records. And he put together this memorial because they were such good friends, and everybody who knew Phil just loved Phil. He was one of the greatest guys and produced some of the biggest pop records in history. And it was a who's who. They took Capital A, a recording studio in Hollywood, which is a site of legendary recordings, Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, everybody from then until now has recorded in there. And I've worked there for years. And everybody was there. I mean... Dave Sanborn and everybody was there. Now I'm drawing a blank, but
you've got so many people that you work with and that you know, Greg. I don't know how you keep it straight.
Well, you know, it's funny. So, long story short, I had never worked with or met Burt Bacharach. I'd seen a concert live maybe 10 years ago that was just so stunning. It was like a 50-piece orchestra. surrounding Burt on grand piano and conducting, and Ronnie Isley singing, and it was a
stunning
a concert. And so I met him after the memorial service, and during that memorial service they had a piano and a mic set up, a grand piano in the studio, and there's about 100 people there, and it was kind of an invitation only type thing. And Bert, they asked Bert to play something, so he went to the piano and played "A House Is Not a Home." And, you could have heard a pin drop, and they should have handed out boxes of Kleenex for everybody, because it's just a moment that you had to be there to believe, you know. So afterwards, I asked Al Schmidt, who knows everybody there, and he said, I asked him, can you introduce me to Bert? I would love to meet him. Can you know, you know, an arranger to an arranger, he's one of the best, you know. And so he introduced me, and I said, I really appreciate everything you've done musically, and it's really been an influence on me. You're one of the top five influences that I've taken cues from over the year and so years. And I said, I used to be in a band called Tower, and he said, great horn section, before I could even get out the whole name of the band. And to me, that was the highest compliment that he knew about, great horn section. And I said, well,
absolutely.
Oh, man. You know, it's like, oh, God. You know, and so I'm hoping to get together with him in the near future, and this may be the source of the next record, to do a Bert Bacharach songbook and have Daryl sing some of the greatest songs that he's done. And I would do the arrangements, or maybe we could do them together. But, you know, if I could get his blessing to do something like that, you know, when you do other people's songs, you have to get the licensing, all that. So, but
sure.
On a more artistic form, I would really love to do something with him. He's one of a kind, you know, and just a great guy. It's just a great guy. So
that's nice
cool,
to hear.
You know? Yeah. So, but you know, I know that you have a international listenership out there. So if I could just give the folks out there a little heads up on some of the other dates we're going to be doing besides the
East
Coast. We're going to be in Seattle at Jazz Alley July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, which is a great club. We've played there over the years, and it's always a great place to play. And Seattle's a great city. Seattle, although much bigger, Seattle is very similar, I think, to Maryland and Baltimore. It's got just a great, great feel to it. And of course, it's, if you want crab cakes, you can go to Baltimore. You go to Maryland. If you want salmon or other seafood, Seattle is your best bet, you know, because
yes.
of all the fishing up there. So it's a very cultural city. It's San Francisco, Seattle. It's just like, one of my favorite cities to visit. And usually we're just in there for one night. This time we're three nights, so it's we have a little time
wonderful.
To explore a little bit more and that kind of stuff. And then we're going to be this is a cool thing. We did this last season, but this is kind of it's kind of like a doubleheader, if you want to say that. On the 14th of July, we're going to play the horn section, East Bay Soul horn section. Is going to play the national anthem at the Giants Stadium, AT&T Park, and they're going to be playing the Oakland A's. So we're going to play the anthem at 1 o'clock, and that night we're playing at Yoshi's in Oakland. So literally playing right across the bay from each other. You know, it's like a doubleheader, like I said. So that's going to be very cool. You know,
definitely.
And we did it. We did it last season, and it was a one-off. We flew up, played the anthem, and flew back. You know, I mean, we didn't even have a gig. So Mario Aliotto, the manager, or the owner of the team, who I've known for years because the power horn section has done Giants games in the past. So we kind of, we were in one room down the hall from his office, and he came and sought me out to say hi again and all that stuff. So we really, the horn section played the anthem really well, and I've had this little arrangement that I did of it years ago, and I just kind of brought it out, and Andrea kind of, you know, sought out West Coast teams, and the Giants came back and said, yeah, we want you. So we did that, and then they asked us back. You know, it's always good when the team wins when you play the anthem. A lot of times, if they lose, you don't get asked back. But, you know, it's good to be back, you know, and so we're playing in the rival city. So we're playing the anthem in San Francisco and playing in Oakland that night.
That is too funny. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
and all of those folks who come to the game will be there at Yoshi's that night.
Yeah, you know, and the irony, too, is the drag of it was the fact that last time we did it, we got to stay and watch the game, and we had the greatest seats in the house right behind home plate.
And this time
we won't be able to stay because we got to get out of there and go over to do sound check at the club. So, but, you know, that's show business, you know. But,
yeah. Hey, look.
Know. And then we've got this great gig on July 12th in Laguna Beach, which is just one of the premier beach cities here in Southern California. It's a gorgeous place to live and visit. We do this thing. They have this thing called Pageant of the Masters, and it's a really – it's hard to explain what it is, but what they do is they reenact a painting by one of the masters on a big palette. And there's like 2,000 people in an outdoor amphitheater, and they build a painting with real people.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Oh, it's you take like some a classic Cezanne or a Renoir or a Monet or a Manet, whatever, and they literally put the people up on this palette, like a canvas, and recreate the painting. And it's a whole process where they build it, and it's real dim. The lights are dim, and right at the end, they raise the lights, and there it is. And it's like 20 feet by 60 feet wide. It's unbelievable. It's just gasping. You know, it's just like...
That's
so
mind-blowing.
There's also an art exhibit there, and it's a beautiful art exhibit of local artists, all kinds of crafts and paintings and photographs and stuff like that. Well, we play out under the trees a couple of sets in the afternoon while people peruse the art exhibit. It's a great gig. I mean, you just can't, you know, it really is a lot of fun. We've done it for several years, so that's something we always look forward to. And on September 20th, we're doing this benefit for a dear friend of ours that passed away last year, Mike Jones, and we've started foundation for Mike. It's called the Mike Jones Kidney Foundation, and both Andrea and I are on the board of directors, and we have a board of three others, one being Andrea's sister, Margaret. She's a registered nurse, and it's all about helping people. We're not going to provide a kidney or anything like that, but there are a myriad of needs that a donor or a recipient or the family of either may need in the process of lodging, transportation, food, whatever it needs. And we're going to do a big benefit for Mike's foundation.
That's great.
At the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. We did it 2 years ago, but then Mike passed away. And I've been involved with him for all seven years that he had done these benefits. And it's called An Evening of Jazz. He's a great jazz aficionado. And we met under the funniest circumstances many years ago. And we became fast friends. And so a lot of people have come and gone who are involved musically. But I seem to be the guy who was a go-to guy for Mike every year. And the last 2 years, East Bay Soul was the headliner. But this year we're going to go real big, and I can't even mention who I'm going for yet because it might jinx it. But we want to get a major, major star in there to join us for the evening. And it's just such a great cause, and people need help, you know, and we're teaming with Cedars-Sinai Hospital. They're a major renal center here, and the Huntington Hospital in Pasadena. So it's a unique journey we're taking here. I was on the Board of Governors with the Recording Academy for several years, but this is something that's like so from the heart, you know.
Oh, great. That's
much
smaller.
Awesome. The local chapter here of the Recording Academy, it was like 40 governors on the board, and there's just five of us here. So our board meetings are here in the house at the dining room table, and Margaret lives in Long Island, so we put her on speakerphone, and we're grassroots, but it's amazing what we're doing and what we hope to do, and, you know, it's an amazing thing to be such be involved in something that can really change a person's life and make things easier when they're going through something as major as, you know, a kidney transplant or donating. You know, either way, we're here to help. So this will be our big fundraiser, and you know, Mike would always sell packages, and there'd be the perennial VIP package, and you know, where you get dinner and you get prime seating and all that kind of stuff. And we're trying to get maybe one of the chefs or the judges from the Food Network on Chopped or somebody like that. Maybe Giada De Laurentiis to be the guest chef. And that would really entice people to buy the packages and, you know, really try to go all out, you know, and really make a splash. So we got big ideas, and we're the little engine that could. So we're just going to, you know, can't stop us. We're gonna go through that wall if we have to. So that's
well,
really
listen, you know, let's get it out there. Let's help at a grassroots level if we can. I mean, so many people who love you and want to support you musically will hear this and, you know, maybe know the circumstances. Why can't any of us participate? Is there a website so that we can give?
You know, and that you just hit the nail on the head. We're just about to launch the website. So if anybody out there who would be interested in learning more, you can go to my website, gregadamsmusic.com, and all the information will be there. There'll be links, and you can go there. We wanted to get it up May 1st, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. We just have had so much going on here, and Andrea, she is just moving mountains to make this happen, and along with the rest of us. I'm kind of the entertainment guy, and I can't really go anywhere until we get the website going. Because, you know, it's like your calling card. It's your business card.
It is. Yep. I wish more people would learn that, and you've learned it.
It will be the name of the website when it is up will be in 1 week. Andrea just held up one finger. MikeJonesKidneyFoundation.org. So keep your eyes peeled. And you'll, MikeJonesKidneyFoundation.org. And, you know, if you don't have a pen and didn't write it down, just go to my website, and we'll have all the links to hook you up and get you over to it so you can see what we're doing. It's an amazing website. I mean, we're so close. Betty Grace Miner, our photographer and artist who does so much fine artwork, she's helped a lot on the artwork on it. And Andrea's just, like I said, she has moved mountains to get this thing going, and we're so close. Like she said, a week, you know, it's just we can taste it. So it's going to be a great cause, and anybody in Southern California will, if they are interested in coming to the band, it's obviously a good cause, and it'll be a great night of entertainment. Of course, East Bay Soul will be playing, and then our special guest, who, like I said, I can't announce because we can't really go there until I have the website, and, you know, it kind of legitimizes you when you have that kind of thing. It's kind of, well, I got a barn and a bale of hay. Let's put on a show. We have to be a little bit more diligent. You know.
Well, listen, now, Greg, I have to tell you, because I told a story to James Lloyd earlier, and I really mean this. You know, I saw Pieces of a Dream some years ago, and they opened for a major act, and it wasn't a good idea because Pieces of a Dream should have closed that night. Please, I'm begging you, make sure that you, as part of East Bay Soul, close the show because
go ahead.
Well, after you know, you guys are finished, I mean, we got to wring out some washcloths to get ourselves
well,
together.
You know, we're hoping to do a thing where we, you know, it's a whole evening of East Bay Soul will come out and do a set, and then we have a silent auction where we're going to seek, you know, packages at a resort to be donated, to be bid on, and, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know, restaurants, meals, and stuff like that. And then after that is all done, and we do our educational, you know, speaks to the audience about, you know, what's going on here and what the importance of a foundation like Mike Jones Kidney Foundation is. I mean, he really did have a following. I mean, we went from a nightclub restaurant near LAX that held about, well, I don't know, 150 people from the first one to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, which is about 1,500. And we didn't sell it out the last time we did that, but we've progressed through the years. Through the last, this will be 9 years. You know, it's built, and it's built, and it's built, and we want to get it bigger so we can help more people, you know, and fund more people in need, you know. So it's amazing. The president of our board was Mike Jones' birth father, who he only met 5 years ago. He had to give him up as an infant because he and his wife just could not afford. And he had just met his son, and they are two peas in a pod. I mean, we sit at the board meetings, and Mike was very flamboyant in his physical moves. He used his hands a lot. You'd think he was Italian, but he wasn't. And his dad is like, it's like Mike is in the room when his dad Willie is here. All his
mannerisms,
wild. Just like his sons. And they hadn't seen each other for almost 45 years.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Gosh.
It is an amazing story. We pinch ourselves every time we have a board meeting because of what's going on here. It's like the dynamic of what we're trying to do, and it's an amazing experience. So we're really hoping that.
So beautiful.
You know, and then, like I said, East Bay Soul will come out, play a show, and then we'll have the silent auction, and then we'll have our special guest come on and do a short set. We're not asking much from whoever we're going to invite and hopefully get, but it'll be a night to remember, and that, you know, it'll be somebody who will really, really draw to the demographic of you know, who we are entertaining, who buy tickets to this, and we want to expand on the demographic because it's just such a great cause, and it doesn't matter who or what you are, people need help in these times when they have something as life-threatening as kidney failure.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Transplant. So
yes.
Every bit counts. You know, we're starting out small, but we hope to grow big. So that's what I'm up to these days.
Oh, bless your heart. That is so wonderful. And you're so excited about it. That's what trips me out. I love that so much. And I had no idea. So you know what? Anything that we can do to help, Andrea made sure. You're welcome. I wrote it down, MikeJonesKidneyFoundation.org. So I'll be looking to see when you post that, and I'll just keep pushing it because that's extremely worthwhile.
Oh, that's so nice of you to help because like I said, we're grassroots. We're just starting. So as much help as we can get, we will take it, and people like you who really understand, you know, what this means, we can't thank you enough. So,
my pleasure.
We will let you know. You're gonna have to keep an eye out. We'll let you know personally when it's up, so you can tell the folks.
That would be great. And look, I have to tell you this. I'm not sure if you are aware of this or not, but speaking of growing your audience. Speaking of different kinds of age demographics, just so folks are aware, on June 15th, when East Bay Soul comes to Annapolis, to Ram's Head, earlier that day, it's a Sunday now, earlier in the day is an all-ages show. It's Jamie Lynn Spears, Britney Spears' sister.
Really?
Yes.
In Ram's Head?
Yes, Ram's Head.
Really?
Oh. Right there. So that will be the afternoon, and then you guys are coming at night. So some of those young heads may hang out for you, Greg.
Yeah, well, that'd be great. You know, it's kind of funny because they have probably a full house for that, and then it'll be a big transition to get our band set up on stage. You know, usually we go in the afternoon, so I guess we'll have to be going in a little later to do our sound check and stuff like that. But that's interesting. All ages,
isn't
so.
It though? Yes.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of times, nightclubs that serve food will let, accompanied by a parent, they'll let minors in. That's how I met Duke Ellington.
And oh my gosh!
Street West when I was 14 or 16 years old.
Really?
Friends of my family took us to see the Duke Ellington Orchestra play at Basin Street West, which is a famous club. It's like the Blue Note, you know, but it's no longer there. And so they took me, and after the first set, the wife of the couple that took me, they're friends of my parents, she leaned over me and said, "Would you like to meet Duke?"
I said,
"Wow, really? Yeah, he's an old friend of ours." So they took me backstage, and Duke was laying on Mr. Ellington was laying on a cot with a cold towel on his bare chest and his long hair all over the place. And Evie, this is the woman's name, she goes in and says hi to Duke and brings me in and says, "Duke, I'd like to introduce you to Greg. He's a budding arranger. Do you have any tips for him?" And he sat up and he shook my hand and said, "Just keep doing it, kid. You'll get it right one of these days."
Oh, my God. I would have dropped. I would have dropped.
Yeah, I was pretty, literally, I mean, Duke Ellington in the first place, and then meeting him and then speaking to him. Big day in my life, you know. So I took that with me, and I've never forgot that. Of course, how could you forget something like that, you know? Because I had a great high school jazz band that I was starting to write for, and so I had a great experience in school with music, and I was on my way that early. Shortly thereafter, I joined the Musicians Union and played my first real gig on a New Year's Eve. But that experience with Duke Ellington and the band, it was the real band with, you know, a lot of the original players, like Harry Carney.
Oh, gosh.
Cootie Williams on trumpet. It was like unbelievable, you know. And I remember, because they served food, minors could go accompanied by an adult.
Oh,
so
cool.
We didn't eat, but I remember I had two cherry Cokes.
So you were a little wired anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. And so my parents were ministers, so they would never take me to something like that. They didn't really believe in going to nightclubs, and so that's why my friends of my mom and dad said, "Yeah, you can take them. That's great." So it was a night to remember, and it was just a mind blower.
Well, listen, I have to tell you that this is pretty interesting, the timing of this. I'm going to play a song because we have to play a song before this curtain falls in the next 5 minutes. And once Blog Talk Radio is finished with a programming schedule, it's done. Yesterday was Duke Ellington's birthday.
I know that, and that's what brought that whole thing back to me. Because,
yes.
You know, it's such an important day, you know. So it was poignant for me to be able to tell that story today.
That is so cool. I want to play something by East Bay Soul before time gets away, and I want to make it brassalicious so you see the other side of the coin. We started off the interview with The Love of My Life, and now it's brassalicious from East Bay Soul 2.0 on Hybrid Jazz. Soul comes to your town, eastbaysoul.com. Greg Adams, thank you so much for coming to spend time. This was a blast.
Thanks so much, Trish, and we'll see you at Ramshead.
Oh, you most assuredly will. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on the show today. I really had a great time.
Oh, and there he went.
Yeah, okay, cool. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you, Greg, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you later. Bye.
See ya. Greg Adams from East Bay Soul with less than 60 seconds to spare. What a show today. James Lloyd from Pieces of a Dream, Greg Adams from East Bay Soul, and let me tell you something. You cannot get the CD unless you come to the show. I've had 3 messages about this. You live in other states. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend. Happy International Jazz Day. God bless you for tuning in today, and especially to Beej and Yolanda and our guests floating back and forth, and Andrea in the chat room today. You're a treasure. For over 106,000 listens to this show, everything is so cool. God bless. See you next Tuesday. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.